Dear Cheap Astronomy, how close is fusion energy? Well, a lot of people are saying 2050, but with that sort of timeline, you might just as well say no time soon. Fusion clearly is achievable. After all, the Sun and the other stars do it all the time. But of course, stars do it through their own gravity, forcing nuclei so close together they have little option but to fuse. That process can't be readily reproduced on Earth, since we don't especially want our planet collapsed down to the densities required for stellar fusion to take place. So, we look to other methods to force nuclei together, the current favoured approaches involving magnets or lasers. To create fusion, you have to bring two nuclei into close proximity with each other. The first hurdle is that most room temperature nuclei form atoms, where the positively charged nuclei are surrounded by negatively charged electrons. To get around that, you can heat those atoms up into a plasma state, where the electrons and the nuclei are no longer associated, they just bounce around independently within the broiling plasma. The next hurdle is that the positively charged nuclei still repel each other. So all that bouncing around isn't about particles coming into contact with each other, they're just coming close until their like charges repel. To get particles to contact and fuse, you need to confine the plasma into a smaller volume so as to bring the particles close, and you need to keep it very hot so the particles move fast and collide hard. But if you try to reduce the volume within a box, particles will also be colliding with the sides of the box, which heats up the box and also cools down the particles, since the transfer of their kinetic energy is what is heating up the box. And once the particles in the box start cooling and slowing, the probability of fusion diminishes, so you have to add more energy to try and get things back into a fusion-friendly state. This is the balancing act of fusion generators. We've built literally hundreds of them over many decades now, and for the most part they have generated fusion. What we are yet to achieve is a point where you can get more energy out of the fusion reactions than you put in to make those reactions happen. What we'd really like to achieve is a sustained chain reaction. After all, while fusion does require energy, it also creates energy. So surely if you can just get it started, its own energy production should then be able to drive more and more fusion. The challenges with making that happen are keeping the fuel contained so that the density stays high, keeping it hot so that fusion probability stays high, and all the while adding more fuel to keep it all going. We are getting around the problem of energy loss through heat conduction using tokamaks, which are large helical chambers with electromagnets arranged to direct plasma flow around in circles. So the particles are more likely to collide with each other than with the walls of the confinement space. For that same reason, you get more fusion efficiency by increasing the volume of the confinement space, which is why we're now building very big tokamaks. There is another problem, where whenever you fuse one proton and one electron, you get a neutron, which, being neutrally charged, is no longer steerable by the magnets, and so it just flies off, removing fuel and energy from the reaction space, as well as becoming a source of damaging radiation. Part of the economics of fusion reactors is the lifetime of the reactors themselves. Since the reactors will be big, expensive, and technically intricate, and they will have to contain million-degree fusion reactions, as well as high-energy neutron radiation. So even if we do gain a modest net production of energy, if we have to keep shutting the reactors down for ongoing maintenance, we may still not realise an overall benefit versus cost. So it is all pretty tricky, finding the right balance. But we do really think we're getting closer to a working solution if the year 2050 sounds closer. Right now, of course, there are compelling reasons why we should be building lots of nuclear fission reactors to to reduce our dependence on carbon fuels. But those fission reactors are big and expensive and not at all popular. And it may be the same story for the first generation of fusion reactors, which will be very big and very expensive, and it's unlikely that anyone is going to want one in their own backyard. As always, it's not just about the technology, it's also about people.